All right, so welcome to the Broadcast Podcast. I am Nazar. With me is my brother, Bashar. We talk about weird things. Today, we're doing a Q&A. And what did we talk about today?
Well, we had a lot of questions coming in from our friends and family. Yes. And we categorized them in four distinct aspects, which were life questions, podcasting questions, cricket questions, and then recommendations.
Yes, sir. And we answered all of them to the best of our abilities, and God help us. Enjoy. What's up?
What's going on?
What is up? No intro.
What's up with this hair situation?
Okay, so the hair is basically no barbers / I want to see how long I can grow.
Good.
What's up with the beanie situation?
Well, beanies and hats are a great way to disguise or hide the hair situation.
This hair situation.
Well, I think you look better with long hair. But with me, my hair gets wavy and it gets kind of out of control and very frizzy. So I'm just waiting till my barber opens up.
Which is probably going to be never, because Ford is just pushing the deadlines. We did a Q&A thing.
Yes.
We have questions.
Does this mean that we're out of content?
We are clearly out of content. 33 episodes in or 34 episodes in and we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
This is what it's come to. And, full disclosure, most of these questions are sent in by friends and family because that's all we have on social media.
Correct.
But the questions are good. I like them. They're interesting questions. I would love to answer them. I think you would too.
Yeah. So I guess we basically categorized the questions by there's some life questions.
Yeah. 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 So you did a really good Google Doc situation where you've spliced them up into podcasting questions, life questions, cricket questions, and recommendation questions. And then a few you have for me and a few I have for you.
Sure.
Off the top of our heads.
So let's dive into it.
You want to dive into it?
Sure.
All right. So we'll start with the podcasting questions first, because people were quite interested in how we conduct this situation. Yeah. They think it's like this really super studio setup thing, which I don't mind.
It's a high-end production, guys.
Which it is.
It is.
But, people have questions about that. So I'll start with the first one. And we both can answer this. The first one comes from Carrie Anthony, a frequent guest on the pod. No, she's not frequent. She was here once, though. She was fun. She asked, what was the moment you decided to do the podcast?
Well, it was basically... Okay, so it started off as... So this started off as a cricket podcast.
Yes.
It was formerly called The Final Over.
Formerly known as.
That is a hint to the introduction that I did to Matt Whitecross.
Which was horrible.
I basically killed a guy. I said, welcome Matt Whitecross, who was formerly known as. I basically killed him. Anyways, so me and my brother are very passionate about cricket ever since we were kids. We played together. We basically... I was going to say we grew up together, but we did.
We definitely did.
We did.
What is wrong with you, man? What is absolutely wrong with you? We started the podcast because you ranted about cricket one night, and I was like, you know what? Somebody should record this.
Yeah.
This guy is funny. This guy is passionate, and this guy knows what he's talking about.
I have good insights.
I agree. I think you do. I love watching cricket with you. Because off the top of my head, I could be like, how many centuries does Virat Kohli have? And just pull up some number and be like, it's probably true. But then here's the thing. You weren't into podcasts before.
No.
And then I introduced you to podcasts. I was like, you need to follow this medium because this medium is the next thing.
Yeah.
And it happened. It all came together one 2019 summer when you were working for RBC.
Yeah. And I was working sometimes 8-12 hour shifts.
And you had pods on.
I had my headphones in and I would just be like working away on my computer. So, and that's when I really got a chance to dive into podcasts.
You started liking them.
Yeah, I started consuming podcasts.
And then that's when you decided that we need to rebrand and turn this into
something more diverse.
I think it wasn't until we got Matt Whitecross and Irfan Juneja on the podcast that we realized this is real.
Yeah.
Before that, it was just like a thing you and I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we got big names on and we started talking to them and we were like,
Yeah, basically, okay. It initially started off just me and you ranting about cricket and just recording ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
And now it's turned into this, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, people actually care.
Yeah, they tune in.
It's very cool.
We get a decent amount of downloads on our podcast.
Question number two, also Gary Anthony, top five dream guests.
Do you have your list?
I don't have a list, but I know who I want.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure we have a lot of overlapping ones.
Correct.
They're in no particular order for me, though.
Okay. But, okay, just...
Okay, maybe number five. one is number one. But everybody else, I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
John Mayer.
I agree.
Number one. He gets on. The whole point of this podcast is fulfilled.
Yeah.
Number two, mm-hmm. Elon Musk.
Okay.
Yeah. I heard him on Clubhouse last week.
Okay.
Which I think we'll talk about eventually, Clubhouse. But he's great. He's fascinating. Him on Joe Rogan is some of the best content I've ever seen on the internet.
Both him and Joe smoking on, you know.
Like, yeah, we probably won't do the smoking. That probably
also like spiked up the weed stocks as well.
He's doing it. He's doing it all, bro.
Yeah.
Just his worldview, I want to dive into, see what he's into.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a chill conversation. What does he think about John Mayer? There we go. Crossover episode.
Sure.
Right? We would love that. That's my number two. Number three, I really want Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
He's a great interviewer. I would love to interview him. Like, in this setup, imagine Colbert sitting here, and he's just like going off on like politics, life, arts. He's a very learned guy. He reads a lot. He loves sci-fi. He loves fantasy. He loves Lord of the Rings. We just go on and on and on about that kind of stuff. And that would be a really like black and white interview, right, where we get to talk about everything. I don't know if you've checked him out on Howard Stern, but his interviews there are really good too. And then number four, Robert Downey Jr. I think he has one of the most eclectic life ever. Man's been to jail. Man was an addict. Man was at one point the highest paid Hollywood actor. He's a great actor, nominated for an Oscar. So many life struggles. I think he would be great.
Yeah, that's
I would agree. Number five is John Resnick,
okay. Well, we can actually get John Resnick on. I think we can.
Yeah, soon come. I don't want to jinx it, but yeah.
Okay, nothing against your list, but I think a few people on your list have already appeared on many podcasts.
Yeah, so?
So how do you think the way that you will conduct the podcast will be different?
It's completely different. We have a different worldview than anybody. That's the one thing I pitched to you right at the start of this podcast. Mm-hmm. That you and I have such a different worldview that people don't really look at the world the way we do. At least people in the mainstream media. Okay. So it would be really interesting to have like our worldview and then someone completely out of our scope to sit with us. And the type of questions that we would ask would not be those normal random questions like, you know, the other podcasts have. I think that's the edge we have.
Okay. So I'll go with my top five.
Wait. Yeah. I know I didn't mention Hasan Minhaj.
I was gonna point that.
I didn't mention Hasan Minhaj because that's a movement that I've started, and he's not a dream guest. He's coming on.
Okay. You're manifesting this.
I'm manifesting this. He's coming on the podcast. You're coming on the podcast, Hasan Minhaj.
Okay. So top five dream guests for me would be number one, obviously, John Mayer.
Yep.
Number two, I want to talk to Jimmy Anderson.
Yes. Please get him on.
He literally, like, he is an inspiration. He's something else. I think he's once in a generation fast bowler, and I think we're very lucky to be witnessing his greatness.
Because we don't want to disavow our roots.
Yeah.
We're still like cricket lovers. We watched three test matches at the same time 2 days ago.
Back to back.
Till 6 a.m. Yeah. That happened. And Jimmy Anderson is the king of bowling.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one better, at least right now in the world, that does it like him.
Yep. And then obviously Hasan Minhaj, we've started that movement. I would also love to talk to Ali Abdaal because I think one of the reasons why we keep going with our podcast thing is because he's kind of like an inspiration. Like, his words, they hit home.
They do, especially because he has a similar background to us.
And he has no shame in sharing sharing his ways.
Yeah.
And they're really productive. Yeah.
And
they work, yeah.
Because I was on his Insta Live the other day, and he's a Karachi boy living in the Western world, doing what he wants to do. That's our dream. He's living our dream.
Correct.
So I would love to have him on the podcast just to talk about how he did that.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? And how do we excel at that part of the that part of life? Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, Ali Abdallah is also like up there for sure for me as well.
And number five, I said Peter McKinnon. So I think if he would be, if we can talk like photography,
again, editing. Peter McKinnon, sorry to cut you off, but see, Peter McKinnon is the same vibe I have with Ali Abdal, but just in a, put it in a Canadian light.
He's Canadian, yeah.
Canadian kid, lives probably like an hour away from us, mm-hmm. right? Up in Newmarket.
Really? Okay.
All of his shots are Toronto shots. All of his videos are based in Toronto. We live 20 minutes from Toronto. Like, I see his videos. I look at a guy, like, I look at someone that I probably would be friends with in high school.
Yeah. I think one guest that we mentioned here would be Irfan Junejo, but we've already had him on the podcast. If he wasn't a guest already,
yeah,
he would definitely be at the top of, like, he would be on the top of my list.
For sure. Junejo is amazing. And I'm pretty sure he's going to come on whenever we call him. He's a great friend now. Which is again, a byproduct of this podcast. Correct. It is that we established a relationship with Irfan.
Yeah.
Where we could sit with him, talk to him about stuff. And
have
now,
that dialogue.
Have that dialogue. And now he's a peer.
Yeah.
That's insane. 2 years ago, I was binging his videos. And now I get to WhatsApp him or FaceTime him or whatever, right? Yeah. That's insane. Great list, though. Yeah. We forgot to mention one other name.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Mendes. which I think also manifesting. Shawn, you're coming on.
I think it's similar to what he said about Hasan Minhaj. It's like Hasan's coming on. So yeah. Sean is
Hasan and Sean are with those people that are definitely coming on.
Sean probably in person.
Probably. In his condo or not, we don't know. But yeah. He can come here. You can move the guitar a little bit on the side.
What's the next question?
What mics do you use by Usman Siddiqui?
Take it away.
We use Behringer mics. I forget the model number. We use a audio interface called UMC 404HD. It's a 4-input mic. We put it through the audio interface through my laptop. We record it on Adobe Audition, and then I tweak it a little bit to make it sound.
And before this, we were using basic USB mics.
Sucked.
So if you guys want, you guys can go to the first episode that we have that's uploaded on Spotify, which is the Jimmy Anderson one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jimmy. Listen to that one, and then listen to one of our recent ones, and you can identify a clear disparity between the crispness of the voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely different. The audio quality that comes out from these guys versus the audio quality on a USB mic is completely insane. They both were, the USB mics were okay as well, but if you can put in the extra cash, don't put it on video, put it on audio.
Mm-hmm.
If your audio is good, nobody cares about the video that much.
Yeah, and a lot of podcasts don't even have video. Like we are given that audio, that video output.
My favorite podcast, The Armchair Expert, which is also a question.
The next question,
doesn't have video.
Yeah.
It's all audio and it's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Where is that question?
So I think, so it's a TPR pod asked us.
Yeah. What are your favorite podcasts?
And what is the dream podcast gear?
TPR pod. Yeah. Favorite podcast, Armchair Expert.
I agree.
I think that is where I see this eventually going.
Mm-hmm.
Not Joe Rogan-esque, but more Armchair Expert-esque. Armchair, because the thing with Armchair Expert is that we know Dax Shepard. We know his wife. We know the movies he's done. We know the movies his wife's done. So we have a connection with Dax.
Yeah.
At the same time, the conversations he has are so intellectual, insightful, philosophical.
Correct.
With guests that we give a damn about.
Yeah.
Like I was just listening to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's podcast with Dax like yesterday night, and I was so enthralled.
And I listened to the one where he had Yuval Noah Harari.
Great podcast.
The author of Sapiens, and then 21 Lessons for the 21st Century.
I would highly recommend everyone listen to the Malcolm Gladwell one.
Yeah.
He's
heard
great,
that one
man.
As well. Yeah.
Another podcast that I listen to often, How Writers Write podcast. They bring in authors, talk about how they write, their routine, their discipline, their reading patterns, all that stuff. That's really good for people who want to write anything. Like just not novels or short stories or whatnot, screenplays and all that stuff. I even recommended it to you. I think it's a great podcast. That one I would listen to a lot too.
I'm also a big fan of the Tim Ferriss show.
Great show.
I think he has some terrific guests, and his book is on my reading list.
Yeah.
The 4-Hour Work Week. So I want to read that. And I also listen to his podcast a lot. And for fun, I listen to this podcast called The Reply All from Gimlet. I think that's a great podcast. It has some really cool episodes. One episode, or one series that I really loved was basically there. So this podcast, they're two friends, Alex Goldman and his other friend, his name was also Alex, I think.
Okay, that's funny already.
Yeah. So basically what they do is like they dive into like these really weird parallels where in one of the episodes they got this spam call from India where they were trying to like basically spam them for money.
Yeah.
as tech support.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they did was that they dove into that case to the extent that the guy went to India to hunt him down who was calling him and figured out what's going on and why it's going on.
That's a podcast?
That's a podcast. That should be a documentary. It's a series. It was dangerous. His life was almost in danger.
Wow.
Because there was this person who was like basically like a mafia god who was running these call centers.
Yeah.
Where he would underpay people in India. And they would basically do spam calls and try to like, scam people out for money.
Yeah.
Like they would be like, oh, this is the IRS or this is, or we're calling from Microsoft or we're calling from Apple. I get those calls
all the time.
Everybody gets those calls. So if you're wondering where they come from, why they come, you should listen to that podcast.
What is it called again?
Long Distance.
It's called Long Distance.
It's called Long Distance. And the podcast itself is called Reply All.
Great. Great podcast. I'm going to check it out now.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of that question was podcast gear. Anything that Joe Rogan uses.
Yeah.
Plus cine cameras. I think the best podcast setup is that we've sort of tried to emulate as well is the Peter McKinnon and Maddie Hipoya podcast.
Yeah. We just need a wooden table.
Wooden table and a sign here and we're good, right? Yeah. We basically have it locked down. But that's basically the podcast, the dream podcast gear / setup. What about you? Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think the mics that Joe Rogan uses they're really good.
Oh, yeah. They're famous now as Joe Rogan podcast mics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how... You know that. You know,
do you remember the names?
Yeah, they're Shure mics, SMB something. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Just Google Joe Rogan podcast mics, and that's what we want.
Yeah.
But these ones are
pretty good as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not gonna bitch about them. They're pretty good. If you were to choose between your career and podcast, what would you pick? This is from Fahad Chaudhry.
100% podcast. What the hell is that? Is that even a question?
I think in a best case scenario, the podcasts become the career.
Yeah.
Like,
but do you know any full-time podcasters aside from Joe Rogan?
Aside from the big ones?
Yeah.
People usually use podcasts as side gigs.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind this as a passive income side gig.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's one of our passion projects that we both work on together, this isn't the end goal, I guess, mm-hmm. right? It's a means to an end, but it's a great means. Yeah. I love it. Like I would do 7-8 of these if I could, if I was, asked to. And the last question about podcasting is from Hassan, who's our cousin. He asks, why should we listen to your podcast and what makes you so special? I don't know if that was sarcastic, if he was just like trying to pull our leg, but mm-hmm. I'm going to take it as literal. And why should we listen to our podcast? You don't have to, mm-hmm. right? I mean, people don't have to. A lot of people don't. But if you do, I think what we try to do here is be as entertaining and as informing as we could and be our true selves. Like if you talk to us outside of these mics, outside of this room, I think we're literally like...
We sound the same.
Sound the same. We act the same. We don't have any differing opinions. We present it all.
Yeah, we're not putting a show for the podcast. Yeah.
So like if you are interested in that, stick around. If you're not, then... It's okay. There's a lot of podcasts out there, bro.
Definitely.
Life questions?
Hit me.
Do you want to move on?
Yeah.
Life seems a bit rough for you anyways. this question is from Maham. She asks, what's something you guys learned out of a non-academic book that will stick with you forever? Everything for me.
Yeah.
I've learned nothing from academic books. For me, it's like everything. Remember the thing that I told you when I got you a Kindle?
Yeah.
Congratulations on your degree. Now your real education starts. I believe that.
Yeah. And I was just, the reason I was laughing was because the first interview that I had after my graduation, the interview went really well in terms of the communication parts of it. But they wanted me to know like 3 programs or 3 softwares and a bit of coding and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any of that. And I was like, "Why? What the hell did I do for 4.5 years in school?"
Yeah,
I dropped 65K, and the first question that they asked me at my interview for a real job, like I don't even know the answer for that. So I don't think my degree necessarily equipped me for the working world.
Does it ever?
I'm not
every
sure.
Every person who I've heard on a aforementioned podcast that we mentioned who's said that they've gotten any value from university was after they dropped out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, there's a gaping flaw in the
I was system. So naive in the beginning of years of my education where I was like, I would be like studying calculus and I'd be like, yo, I got to do good because I got to use this at work. And then when I spoke to people who had real jobs, they were like, you're never going to use calculus or trigonometry ever again.
Yeah.
So, but I guess one thing that I have learned outside of an academic book is from sports. And I think I've mentioned this before as well, where just playing sports, and for me, it's been cricket. So
yeah.
Playing that has given me a lot of tools on ways how to handle defeat and how to cope with defeat. And it's basically been, in a nutshell, just analyzing your mistakes after a bad day or even a good day.
Yeah.
And seeing where you went wrong and then working towards improving those mistakes and coming back hard. I think at the end of the day, it's all about when you fall.
Gotta get back up, bro.
You've got
to. Why do we fall, Mr. Brain?
You gotta dust off that dirt and then get back up and fight again.
Yeah. You forgot to mention that you also play 2K and I beat your ass, but whatever. Cricket works.
Debatable.
Cricket works.
Debatable.
I mean, that's one sport that works. How do you suggest finding meaning in current times? Alyssa asked that. That's a deep question.
That is a deep question. Alyssa, I hope you're doing well.
Look, all I'm saying is if you didn't find meaning in previous times, then it's just going to get harder to find meaning in forthcoming times. You have to do it now. So finding meaning in anything or in life requires you to move out of your comfort zone. So let's say if I'm comfortable in waking up at 2 p.m. and sleeping at like 6 a.m., then that will be my bubble that I'm stuck in.
Why are you looking at me?
What else am I supposed to look at? I'm not shooting shots, but if you're feeling attacked,
I feel attacked.
reanalyze your life. But that's the thing. So if that's the bubble you're stuck in, then you're never going to move out of it. So how are you going to move out of it?
But I guess she's talking more about like in terms of the pandemic and lockdown, which I can understand. It can be very hard because...
Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah. A lot of the times, it feels like you're living the same day over and over again.
Yeah.
So to find meaning can be difficult. I think finding meaning is attached with finding purpose. I'm currently listening to the audiobook called... Man's Search for Meaning. It's by Dr. Viktor Frankl, and he was one of the survivors of the Auschwitz concentration camp.
Wow.
During the Second World War. So if I can take anything away from that book, is from that man's life. Basically, when he went to the concentration camp, he was stripped away of everything that he knew and he owned. His family was killed. His wife, his brother, his parents, he had nothing to live for. They even stripped away his name and in that concentration camp, he was basically subjected to just his number that was tattooed and he was directed and addressed by his number.
That's insane.
They were made to shave their heads. They were made to basically give away any possession that they had. So in that time, what Viktor Frankl says is that to find meaning is to find your purpose. And I think if you're struggling to find meaning, I think you need to look into finding your purpose.
Yeah. So that's, again, a conversation we talked about in Soul is how do you find yourself purpose? And that's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
You got to move out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. If something is too easy, then it won't give you that joy that something that's difficult will give you.
Yeah.
I hate maths, man. I hate it. But once I can sit down and do a whole sum from top to bottom without any hesitation, after struggling for 3 to 4 hours, that hit when I match the answer with the end of the book is unparalleled to anything else.
Yeah.
And what has happened there is that I've learned something new that I can quote unquote apply or not apply to my life. I had a purpose. I achieved that purpose on to the next purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying to say. I don't know if that came across as that, but what you're saying is also very true. So when you need to find your purpose to find meaning.
Correct.
And my whole problem with this whole notion is that people talk about finding their purpose a lot more than they actually do. Do you see this as well? Like, people are always like, I want to do this. I want to do that. Blah, 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 blah. The more you're talking about it, the less you're doing it.
Yeah. And I guess,
I don't know if that sounds harsh, but that's what I think.
Another thing that I can probably add on to that is, if you're looking to find happiness, don't attach your happiness to materialistic things that will eventually fade out.
Like numbers and downloads on Spotify.
or money or status, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason why a lot of celebrities, once they achieve that landmark, they go into drugs to
fulfill the void.
Right? To add some excitement to their lives.
Yeah.
So I guess focus on systems and focus on the process.
System works.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Oh, this is getting darker and darker. Sarah Asghar asked, to love or to be loved? Sarah Asghar asked that.
First of all, such an original question, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
we
just dragged
Well, I would say in an ideal scenario, I would like to love the person that loves me.
Both.
Right? It should go both ways.
It's exciting to love someone and it's exciting to be loved.
Yeah. But if you had to pick one, I think I would pick loving someone.
Same.
Because I think being loved is like a safety net.
Yeah.
Right?
It's too easy. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think I would rather love someone because haven't you been in positions where you are massively crushing on someone? I'm moving this in a more romantic way, but you're massively crushing on someone and they're not really interested in you. But that, just that feeling of this is the energy I'm throwing at you, it's so powerful, right? Am I just hopelessly romanticizing this weird act?
No, I think you're right. So we would both pick the same thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Exactly. If you had to have one quote tattooed on you, religious or not, what would it be? This is by our former guest, Krish Vithlani. I am not a tattoo guy, so I wouldn't have anything tattooed.
I think you would probably have a tattooed right.
No.
On your head.
On your forehead.
Backwards. So when you go in the morning to wash your face, you'll see it reflected back. You'll be like, okay, I got it right.
That's some
gajani memento type stuff. Gajani
memento shit. Yeah, no. I wouldn't do that. If anything, I'd probably get like the Deathly Hallows tattooed on my finger.
Okay.
Probably that's it. If I ever have kids, probably my name's kids. I like finger tattoos, like stuff that, the ones that stick in the side of the fingers. I think those are just like subtle enough to be cool. And then they're tattoos as well. And then they're not as like blatantly like in your face. I'm not going Joker and getting damaged tattoo on my forehead. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, and this, I would have this quote, and this quote is also my, because I have an Android, I have the always on display mode. And so the quote that I would choose to have tattooed on me would be, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So basically what that quote would mean, if I'm happy, it would humble me down. If I'm sad, if I'm going through a rough patch, it would give me hope that, you know, it'll pass. Things will get better.
I have a poem about that in my book, A Rush to the Stars. It's called This Too Shall Pass. It's great.
Great.
Next question. Prakar asked, you're done uni. What's next? This is for you.
I guess I'm still trying to figure that out to some extent.
Podcasting
full time. No, I'm kidding.
For sure.
It's hard to distinguish what you want to do versus what others want you to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really delicate part of my life. It's a delicate stage of my life where I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do versus what others want me to do. Like, what is success to me? What is success for you, and like in your eyes?
For me, success is if we sit down and do this thing, it's success.
Yeah. So I guess I just, from a career perspective, it's probably to gain more experience.
Yeah.
And because I'm just 22.
But isn't the end goal to work for yourself?
Yeah, to be an entrepreneur,
to not
be your own boss.
Yeah, exactly. And not be subject to 9-to-5s. I think that's the end goal. And if you make it to that, if it's via podcast, via Stonks, via GME, via whatever. If you get to do that, then you've made it. That's what I think. I'm still in uni, so I don't get to give an input, but that's my input.
Yeah, once you graduate, there's like an inflow of a lot of free sessions from your relatives and and your friends and family. Mm-hmm. So I just think where I am right now, I want to try different things. I want to see what I'm interested in, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what excites me, what doesn't excite me, what gets me out of bed. So I guess that's where I'm currently at.
Fair. Next question, one word answer. Most valuable thing you learned in quarantine from Izan?
Gratefulness.
What would I choose? I think I would choose reading. I think that's the most valuable thing that I learned to appreciate. Anything else? F it. One piece of advice you're definitely telling your kids is also from Amazon. It's for both of us. This question is one piece of advice for your kids. Beta, read a lot and be nice.
That's yeah, mine. Be kind to others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not like the kindness that people say to be, like be genuinely kind.
Yeah. And be kind, but also don't get walked over.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't let anybody take advantage of your niceness or your kindness. Yeah. So there's a distinguishing.
Distinguishing factor.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Fair. This question is from Essen. It's for both of us. What is one goal you would like to fulfill within the next 5 years? I would like to have all 5 or 11 or 12 guests that we both had just conjured up on the podcast.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be a pretty good goal.
In 5 years, I would like this podcast to hit 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah. On average, like a few thousand downloads would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. That life stuff got heavy.
It did.
So I'm moving on to cricket questions, which is also, again, people forget we're a cricketing podcast first. We're not, but whatever. We still love talking about it. Who is the Fab Four of cricket right now? Zarkham asked. I have an answer for that. For the batting.
I think he's talking about the batting.
I think if he's talking about the batting, then it's so obvious, right? Okay. Number one is Kohli.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, okay, Root or Williamson? Williamson.
Okay.
Number two is Williamson, then it's Root, then it's my boy Bobby.
So Steve Smith?
No.
Steve Smith, who's averaging 62 in test matches?
No. I would... No.
See, this is where it's at. I would... So my Fab Four would be Kohli, Smith, Williamson, and Bobber.
And no Root?
It would be...
After last night's game?
Listen to me. Linda, honey, listen. I think Root needs to work on his conversion rate in test matches. He has about 20 hundreds and I think like 50 50s.
Yeah.
Which shows how he has his conversion rate is bad. 100 test matches, you need to have at least 27, 28 hundreds. So I think he needs to catch up, but he's doing it. I predict.
He has like 6-7 more years.
I predict on this podcast, he's going to break Mohammad Yusuf's record of the most test runs in a calendar year.
For this year, year of 2021,
he's already at 500 runs.
Yeah,
a double century, and then I think he scored another 100 in
Sri Lanka
against India right now.
So, no, he scored a double 100 against India.
Okay, so yeah, he scored a lot of runs this year, and he has many more test matches to come.
Yeah, he's a lot of test matches,
and he's in the form of his life. And I think he's going to break his record. But I think for the fourth spot, there's no doubt Kohli, Williamson, Smith are there. But between Bobber and Root, I think I'm going to go with my Pakistani roots, and I would say Bobber.
Pakistani roots.
Yes. So I would pick
for
Bobber.
For me, Smith makes it's in the conversation, but he doesn't make the equation just because, I don't know, I have more faith. It's a more completely emotional anecdote that I'm going to give you. Nothing about stats. I have more faith in the other four guys than I have on Smith, even though he had a phenomenal year like 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago or was it last year?
At the Ashes, yeah.
He was insane. Hitting a century like in every match or something like that. It was absolutely insane. I get that. But the class, the gravitas that comes with these four names, I don't really feel it with Smith. Also, the whole tampering thing didn't help.
Moving on.
You're a PCB selector. Who do you pick for test opening pair? Ghazanfar asks this.
So I would bring back Shaun Masood, and I would stick with Shaun Masood in opposite opening. The reason why I say that is because if you look at our past history, none of Pakistan's openers, or I would say none of Asian openers, perform well in SANA countries, which is South Africa, England, New Zealand, Australia.
Yeah.
So if you're going to pick or choose or drop openers based on their performances abroad, you're really going to miss out, or you're going to give too many openers a chance and not one opener consistent chances. Because this was the same Shaun Masood who performed really well in South Africa, who scored a 150 against England. So I think based on 3 or 4 bad innings, he shouldn't have been dropped, especially for this tour against South Africa and Pakistan, because the last time he scored 100 here and he had a great, great series. So I think we need to give guys a longer run.
Yeah, I would take Shaun Masood over Imran Butt.
Yep. I mean, the flaws that he has are very like, they're minute technical flaws. And I think Mohammad Yusuf is doing a great job at the National High Performance Center. And we've seen his work translated in terms of Fahim Ashraf's runs.
Oh yeah, bro. That guy is a run machine these days.
Yeah, I used to be anti-Fahim Ashraf, but after the runs that he scored,
same.
I'm I've turned into a fan.
Sure.
He's convinced me.
I agree with you. I'm right there with you. My opening pair is a hot take.
Okay.
So I would bring back Imam and I would open him with Azhar Ali.
That's a good choice.
Thank you.
I think I think ESPN Crick Info was trying to push this. The fact that
Azhar Ali
has really good opening stats.
Didn't he need to make a double or triple 100 as an opener? Or double 100 as an opener?
Maybe, yeah.
I think he was open. He opened that innings. Yeah.
But I just think like Azhar Ali at number 3 and then Babar at 4.
No, but here's the thing now. You get Asad Shafiq at 3 and Babar at 4, Rizwan at 5, Fahim at 6.
If you ask me, I think Asad Shafiq has played his last test match. That's what I think.
I think he's making one comeback. The Karachi, I mean, wouldn't have that. He's making a comeback.
Well, if you guys have any suggestions of your own test by opening players or whoever is in your Fab Four, comment down below.
Yeah, let us know. Why is Canadian cricket not doing as good as Afghan cricket despite being there longer? Prakar asks this.
So I've been in Canada since 2012. And I think one thing that we've been hearing constantly is the fact that Canadian cricket is growing. It's a growing sport.
Yeah.
Mind you, it was Canada's national sport. When was so the first international match was played between Canada and the USA.
Ever.
Are
you serious?
I'm serious. Google this. I think it was like in...
Am I your Jamie?
I think it was like in the late 1800s, maybe 1850 something.
First.
Or maybe 1900s. That's late 1800s. And fun fact, I had the opportunity to travel to Ottawa and play a game in Justin Trudeau's backyard. There is a cricket stadium there with a pitch and everything.
That's insane.
So I guess
that's insane to me.
Yeah.
The first ever cricket match between two countries was played between USA and Canada on 24th to 26th September 1844 at St. George's Cricket Club in New York. Remarkably, it was not just the first ever international cricket match, but it was also the first ever international match of any sport.
Wow.
Sportskeeda.com.
Cool.
I don't
know
how much I believe them, but this sounds really,
Well, you heard it from me, so.
I believe.
And you trust me, okay?
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm trying to say with that is that it used to be our national sport, but just gets no attention anymore. And the reason why it's not growing is because of a lack of infrastructure. And I think Canada's climate doesn't help that much as well.
That's what I was going to argue.
If you're indoors for six months for a year, it's not good for an athlete.
But
mm-hmm.
England is a cold country as well.
Well,
they have winters.
Then that's
they have unplayable winters, not unbearable.
So that goes back to the lack of infrastructure.
Okay.
And it's a lack of sponsorship. It's the lack of money. I think
there's also a lot of politics inside.
A lot of politics.
Just because of how the Canadian cricket system is really taken over by immigrants. West Indians, Pakistanis, Indians, Bangladeshis.
And there's politics between them as well.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
And so it's really difficult for a really good Canadian player, like an all-star Canadian player, to leave his full-time job and be a full-time cricketer.
Yeah, it's not enough money. If you're making $60,000 as a CPA, why would you take $30,000 a year or even less to play cricket unless you absolutely love it?
And not a lot of Canadian players get many opportunities to play in leagues abroad. Maybe Saad Zafar, Rizwan Chima. These guys are some really good players.
The fact that we have them memorized in our hands, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer. Those three were the only cricket questions we had. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the last segment of questions that we had. Recommendations, and they're all asked from Maham. What's one movie everyone should watch? What song everyone should listen to? What's a podcast everyone should follow? And what's a book everyone should read? It's all asked by Maham.
Okay, so
let's start with one-on-one. Let's go one by one. Mm-hmm. What's the one movie everyone should watch? You have one movie to recommend everyone. You get the entire world population sat down. You have one movie for them to watch.
It's a lot of pressure.
There we go.
I actually saw that movie again.
I'm done with that
last
movie.
Week. Can you believe
it's
that?
It's a good movie, but you made me hate it now.
Okay, so I would say The Pursuit of Happiness.
Ooh.
I think it's a hopeful movie. It's a movie about struggle, and it's a true story.
Great pick. I was going to say Parasite.
Sure, that's
just
a good
pick. It's a non-English movie.
Yeah.
And but the message is so relevant.
Yeah.
But Pursuit of Happiness, go ahead, man.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those movies, back to back.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. What's
one song everyone should listen to? Mine is easy.
I think...
What is mine?
Iris by Google Dolls.
I know you too well.
Google Dolls. What's yours?
So I think because we're bilingual, I'm going to suggest... So being bilingual means double the sad songs. So I would suggest for an English song, War of My Life by John Mayer. And great for book. An Urdu song, I would say Atbar by Vital Signs.
Yep. 100% agree. 100% agree.
Both of them are very hopeful songs. They're songs that you listen to and then they'll uplift your mood.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And they're bangers to sing with in the car. Podcast everyone should follow. This one.
Yeah, this one. And then also, why did you push that button? It's a podcast from The Verge. And it addresses questions like, why do you go on social media? Why do you post? Why do you have a close friends list? Why do you... Like, it's just questions like, why do we have a streak? Why do people still go on Snapchat? What's the point of tweeting? I think it addresses a lot of important questions and you get to know a lot about yourself through that podcast.
Yeah.
And it's really short. It's like 30-minute episodes. Very insightful.
Yeah.
Listen to it. It's called Why Did You Push That Button?
Great. And I think my answer is still the broadcast podcast without a... the best thing you'll ever listen to. Last question, and then you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
A book everyone should read.
I did a question, a Q&A, where I asked people a book recommendation.
Yeah.
And they're like, bro, the Quran. And I was like, fucks.
Yeah, that's true.
But if I had to recommend a book, I think this is a question to ask me. It's too early to ask me.
You just became a reader.
I'm just getting into the reading thing.
But I would say The Great Gatsby. It was written in the 1920s and it's relevant today. Have you read it?
No.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to read it for sure. It's a short book, 180 pages.
Yeah. So I would say Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think it's a great book if you're trying to build new habits or break bad ones.
Both of those books are great.
Yeah.
Completely the opposite on the spectrum. One's a self-help. I mean, mm-hmm. Would you categorize that as a self-help book?
Correct.
Productivity book. It'll get you going.
It gives you the tools to do all of your, it's based
to
on
to make whatever research, you want to make. Yeah. And then Gatsby shows you this is how you make something amazing.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think one of the questions that we had was that if you had to be a movie character
for
a day, who would you pick and why?
Not on this list, bro.
Okay. So I think I got that question and it was from Maham. So I would say I would be Gatsby The Great Gatsby.
That's a bonus question.
I would be Gatsby from Great Gatsby. And
he dies.
Yes. So, okay. The point is, I would want to be Gatsby because I would want to see that lifestyle. I want to see and experience what he owns. And then I want to tell myself that that is not the answer.
I can tell you that right now.
That is not going to fill the gaping hole or the gaping void in anyone's life.
Okay. But I can tell you that right now without having those things.
I want to experience it.
Okay. Well, sorry, what was the question?
What character would you be for one day and why?
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce, we would want to be Batman.
That's the right answer.
And chased by Joker's dogs.
Hey, if I could be Batman, that's it. It's over. It's over for those bitches.
What would you do?
I think I would live the day life as Bruce Wayne and then the night life as Batman. As soon as it hits Maghrib, I'd pray. And then I'm in my bat cowl. I'm in the car. I'm out. I'm in the streets of Gotham fighting crime. But given I have those skills as well, right?
Mm-hmm. You are Bruce Wayne, though.
Sure. And then I come back to my models, call it a night, wake up into this body and cry.
I think we should end at that.
There's no other way to end it. Thank you guys for listening to us. If you're listening to us on an audio-based platform, Spotify, Apple Music, Podlab or wherever. I don't know. People watch us hear us on Podlab. Follow us, subscribe, like, share it with your friends. If you had any sort of value, if you gained any sort of value from this episode, if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe and like, because that really helps and pushes the YouTube algorithm in our favor. Yeah. So that helps. Make sure to tell your friends about us. Make sure to follow us on the socials. Make sure to follow me on Clubhouse. And that's all from me. Take it away.
Yeah, I think that's, I would say the same thing. So,
cheers.
Peace out.